Let's open up the Word of God to where we left off somewhat last week, a little bit of a... Let's go to chapter 22. The monumental revelatory event in Genesis 22 with Abraham being tested by God to give the promise up, the thing that he was to have all his life. And from the time he, in his early days, we're introduced to Abraham, he was already 75 years old when we're introduced to this character. What happened in his first part of his life, or yours or mine, we're on this journey, we're taking a look. What shall we say Abraham, our forefather, has found? This is what kind of like piqued my interest. And looking at him from this facet, there's plenty of revelation to be had by watching the life of Abraham. But there's things that God is doing in our life that goes along with God was faithful to Abraham, God will be faithful to you. He's brought increase to Abraham, he'll bring increase to you and to me. And we hold fast to these things. He's a faithful God, and he doesn't have partiality towards one to another. But a man of faith will reach out and he'll touch that. And we see men who will reach inside themselves and they'll build an altar. And sometimes that will make a difference in how they proceed forth in their journey with God. You have to build that altar. Jesus is Lord. The Word of God is the Lord of your life. It instructs you. It's your integrity. It's your walk. It's your life. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the Lord. It's everything to you. When that becomes so, when you really know that you know that you know that, God is different towards you in the sense of his mercies and kindness are for all. But you'll have something that you'll reach out and touch. It's faith. It's hope. It's love. It's his faithfulness. You'll begin to know him. Not know about him. You will know him. Your faith will reach out. Monumental thing happened to him. He went to Mount Moriah. He went to the place that God instructed him to go. So what shall we say Abraham has found? Well, be where God's told you to be. He found that. That was good for him to be where God told him to be. And here you are, where God told you to be. You're it in being presented by the Word of God, by anointing, by teaching, by preaching, by instruction of the Word of God. We're where God wants us to be. The Word of God doesn't say this, not making a doctrine, but I say day and night. Abraham was in the fields. God, there was times when God was visiting him and things are not recorded. I don't think these recorded instances are just special moments. I think he was connected in his spirit. One of the things I brought about is a New Testament thought. Man is spirit, soul, and body. I know you know these things, but it always was that way. Even in Abraham's day, he was connecting to God in his spirit. Then there was visitations. He could recognize angels and men of God. He could recognize them. He could see them. He was a spiritual man, too, at some point in time. Right? It seems to be translated at times with people today. What's spiritual? They're on a spiritual journey. You know, they go to India on a spiritual journey. You don't have to do that. But nevertheless, most of that is superstitions. You have tribes and cultures. They're reaching out to touch something that they can't see. There's a void in them that are reaching out. And until they're introduced to the living God and through Jesus Christ our Lord, that's when your life and your journey is going to really begin. So here they are, angel of the Lord in the 15. The angel of the Lord, in verse 15, called to Abraham the second time from heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son. Many ways you could preach this, that he gave up that thing in his life that was the promise he was believing God for 24 years. He finally received it, and as that child was growing, he's remembering it every day, that he had this promise from God, and God comes to him and says, it's time to sacrifice him. It's time to give it up. There's a spiritual lessons to be learned in this. You could teach it that way. Indeed, I will greatly bless you. I will greatly multiply your seed. This is where the Apostle Paul pulls this out in Galatians and says, it does not say seeds, as though there were many, but in your seed, all the nations will be blessed. In your seed, as the stars of the heavens, and as the sands of the sea, on the seashore, your seed shall possess the gates of the enemy, and your seed, all the nations of the earth, shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. There's something about obeying the voice of God. There's something about that. What should we say Abraham, our father, has found? There's something about being obedient that's going to take you to new levels in Christ Jesus. In your knowledge of God, being obedient to God. It says, so Abraham returned to his young men. Remember, he had brought a small party with him of people. And he said, stay here. Me and the boy are going to go up and sacrifice. Now it came about after these things that Abraham was told, saying, behold, Milcah. Now it seems as though we're changing subjects in a new paragraph of information is being given to us. You'll see this a lot in Scripture. Pay attention, because he's setting you up for the next part of your journey, for the next part of your life, for the next part of Abraham's life. Because he goes through a list of names here, and these are relatives of here. And we say, we read Scripture and we don't think about it. See, we have the internet. We live here in 2020. We have cell phones. We have ways of communicating. And somehow, if you can't carry yourself back and try to relate and understand how these people traveled, they were nomadic, they were traders, they would buy and sell, and they would live, and fabrics were going, and spices, and all kinds of things were moving in the society. There was society that was being connected. These families, while they were a bit distant, there was still communication going on. Abraham heard this communication about Milcah having a family. And there's a particular person and character in this list of names, and these were all his relatives. Remember, Abraham had two brothers, and the Scripture only tells us that. We don't know how many other siblings were involved. But there was Nahor and his Haran, and he died, and he had a son before his father. His father was still alive. So who's going to take care of Lot? Taman did. Now he died. Now who's going to take care of Lot? Abraham, the firstborn. So Abraham was responsible for his nephew. And we see that. This is just their culture. Who's going to do this? So you see all through his different events where he's had to reach out and help Lot at various points in his life. And he rescued Lot. He went to war for Lot to get back everything that they took from Lot. As we pass that story, Abraham was a man of responsibility and integrity in his life. This is what he did. And God came to meet him there, and he defeated the kings. He had victory in the war because he trusted in his God. At that point in time, he met Melchizedek. And he tithed to Melchizedek, a tenth of all. Way before the law, Abraham was a man of tithing. And he blessed God with that. So here you have, at the end, Bethuel became the father of Rebekah. And that's the person I want you to see right now, because that's in the future of this family. Rebekah was in their future. And so there was something in the heart of Abraham. Let's go through this. Now, Sarah lived 100 years and 127 years. 127 years. So think about it. When you read Scripture, you have to engage with Scripture. How old was Isaac at that time? When was she born? She gave birth to Isaac. She was 90 years old. So that would make him nearly 40 by this time. He's grown up. We're past the time when he put sticks on the fire. This was a human being and he had his own journey. And he was moving forward. But he was the promise. Don't forget. He was the promise. He wasn't just a man popping up in Scripture. He was the promise. So this whole chapter begins to deal with Sarah passes. She dies. Abraham has connections with the people in the land. He's a man of respect and renown in the land. And we went through this part of the story. He was a mighty prince among them. He had value and respect in society and in the community. Somewhat like we should have as a Christian. You walk uprightly and you have respect from people. Oh yeah, you had your enemies. You had people that don't like you. You know, that think you're this or think you're that. Most of it is just jealousies and envies that God has made you rich and you're rich and they're not. And I'm sorry, this is humanity. We see a lot of pictures of humanity as we walk through there. And my suggestion in that type of situations is to say you learn your lessons because you're going to run into that person at some point in time. You're going to run into that person of character, that person of envy, that person of strife, that backbiter, that backtalker, you know, the person who persecutes. You're going to run into those people. Learn how men of God have handled those things and how it affected their life. The fact of the matter is that man of God, it didn't affect his life at all because he's connected with God. And you can reach out and you can try to bless people like that, but it's not going to change your life because you found something out about God. What shall we say Abraham, our father Abraham, has found? Those people didn't bother him. He just kept moving with God. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? So he negotiated with the people of the land, and here he gets the cave. He gets a cave where he buries her. He honors her in this cave, and I'm not making a big point about that because I want to get to the next chapter because these kinds of things are important. So here we go, Abraham in chapter 24. Now Abraham was old, advanced in years. He's old, he's advanced in years. So how old is Abraham by this time? 140, near 140 years old. He was 100 years old when he had Isaac. We look at how time moves in Scripture. Pay attention to those things, and you'll be able to relate better to it. He's only going to live 175. So now he's near 140 years old. So the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned. Place your hand, you know, made a little, it was kind of funny. You put your hand under my thigh. You know, he made him promise something. It's cultural? I don't know. It's kind of strange. I get it, you know. So here it is. Beware that you do not take my son there. Do not take my son back to this land of Ur, the Chaldeans. Don't take my son back there when I'm gone. That kind of gives you the idea that if Abraham dies before this servant is going to have some influence in how this family moves forward. Along with Isaac, of course. Don't take my son back there. Don't return to Egypt. These are things that we see in Scripture when God takes you out from somewhere. I mean, if we go back to the beginning of this journey, what was the call to Abraham? To go out, to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, leave your father's house. His call is the same as your call. Go into all the world. Go out of the world. He takes us out to bring us in. And now we are in a promised place, the Spirit of God. Go out. That was the beginning in his life. That's the beginning for us. Leave the world. You're in the world. You're not of the world. You're light. You're not darkness. You're salt of the earth. This is what we are. The Lord of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth and who spoke to me. Now he's telling us his testimony. Do you remember yours? What should we say Abraham, our father, has found? He hasn't forgotten his testimony. Your testimony is important where God has taken you. I often hear that from preachers who come here and stand in the pulpit about their testimony and how God has brought them from a place. And here I stand today. It's my testimony. He spoke to me, and who swore to me, saying, your descendants, I will give this land. This is what God's promise was to him. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife for my son from there. From this household, you will take a wife. Not from a strange place, not from a worldly place. These kinds of things stirred me when I was young. I pretty much understood what direction I was going with my daughters. I'm just saying, you know, for me, for my life, this spoke to me. I was not at all, as a young man, never going to be prepared to give my daughter to a worldly man. I said it in my spirit already, you know, and did the best I could to make sure that that would not happen. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from my oath. Leave her there. Only do not take my son back there. So he gave him an out. The servant simply wanted to understand. Well, what if she won't come with me? Well, look harder. He doesn't give an explanation. Find someone else of my household, but definitely do not take my son back there again. Definitely don't return back to the world again. There is nothing in the world for you. It speaks spiritual. Nothing in the world that can satisfy you. Nothing in the world that can give you what you need to move forward in the knowledge of God, and in the presence of God, and in the peace of God. So the servant placed his hand under his thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning his master. This matter, this man was a faithful man to Abraham for many, many, many years. Went to war with him. Doesn't give his name, but I do think it's Eliezer. Then the servant took 10 camels. It kind of gives you the impression here. It's not a right impression, because we find out later from a detail that he went by himself. I think it's very rare you see people travel by themselves back in this day. There was a little party of people. It does bring that out as we move forward. So he sent them out with various good things of his master in his hand. And he arose and he went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. This is where this was his brother. His brother must have been wealthy as well, right? The city of Nahor. He made the camels kneel down outside the city. Even his animals were obedient to him. That just jumped out at me, Pastor Phil. Even his animals. His children were obedient to him, and even his animals. His dog, when he said sit down, it sat down. His camels would kneel down. I love that. That's just a little detail. By the well of the water at the evening time, the time when women go out to draw water. He understood this culture and how this was going to work. But I love his interaction between, he called him the God of Abraham, the God of my master. He didn't really relate to God, Eliezer, in the same way that Abraham did. Not in his conversation, that is to say. The time when women go out to draw water, he said, O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. Show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Already him being influenced by Abraham, he knew how to pray. It's important to know how to pray. What do you want? How many times did people come up to Jesus and he said, what do you want? What do you want me to do for you? Oh, we can do that. He wants to hear you. He wants to hear you say it. What do you want? Behold, I'm standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I'll water your camels also. Here, take a drink. Let me go fetch some water for your animals. May she be the one whom you have appointed, whom you have appointed. Here we're introduced to Rebecca just a little bit before, but we don't really realize just yet there's an appointment calendar, there's an appointment for this young lady. How about your appointment? She didn't know it yet. Sometimes we don't. But God's not going to hide it from you. He's going to give it to you. That she may be the one who you've appointed for Isaac, for servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. I love this. Before he had finished speaking, before he had finished speaking, you know, there's prophetic relevance to that statement alone. If we look in the book of Isaiah, I'm not going to go there because I'm just making a point. We see these little secrets pop out in little phrases in the scripture that have impact on your life. There's going to be a blessing that God's going to be. There's going to be a for a future time that before you even speak, God will answer you. This is an instance of that. Before the words even, this is what happened. God is going to bless you. He wants to bless you. So here it is. Before he had finished speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulder. Here she comes. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and no man had relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up, and the servant ran to meet her. See, the servant had to do something too. He's not just sitting back watching TV waiting for something to happen. He saw her. He was praying. He went after her. Just details. It's little details that you see here that bring success and victory in our lives. It's these little details. He said, can I have a little water from your jar? She said, drink, my Lord. Total stranger, never met him in her life. Drink, my Lord. And she quickly lowered her jar from her hand and gave him a drink. Now, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I'll draw water also for your camels and until they have finished drinking. Now, at times I've watched these nature channels, these nature channel on TV. Camels drink a lot of water. A lot of water. It's not like your puppy dog that slurps a little bit, gets a little on the floor that you have to go and wipe up. They drink a lot of water. They had just gotten back from a journey. They're just coming into town of Nahor from a journey. I'm supposing that they're thirsty. You know, like you taking a long bike ride and all of a sudden you get home and you're thirsty or a long run. She watered them and ran back to the well to draw. She drew for all his camels. How many was there? I don't know. A couple, okay. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her, and this is the kind of interesting. I didn't do the word studies on this phrasing here, but I think it's much more impactful than what the English is giving us here. And it says, meanwhile, the man was gazing at her, and I'm thinking it's more like he was stunned. He just prayed this. It just came out of his mouth. At her, he was in silence. He was dumbfounded. Did this really happen? This is where in modern times, you know, Dale will tell a story. You can't make this stuff up. And he'll say this. You can't make this stuff. Did this happen this way? He's on a journey from his master Abraham to find a wife for his son. And here he is. And all this, what he barely gets it out of his mouth and it starts to happen. Exactly. The angel of the Lord went before him. And he will lead him and bring him to the right place. God's leading you. He's guiding you. You're on a journey. You're on an appointment. And this is what he was. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took the gold ring, weighed a half a shekel, and two bracelets for her wrist, weighed 10 shekels of gold. He pulled from his wealth and he gave to her. He wasn't buying her. He was showing appreciation to her. Whose daughter are you? She gets to keep the ring and the bracelets, by the way. It doesn't matter what her answer is. He did her a solid by water, giving him water and watering the camels. Whose daughter are you? Please tell me. Is there room for us to lodge in your father's house? And she said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah. Out of all the, you think there was just one little teeny family with 14 people there? It was a city. It was a city. Grasp. What are the odds? What's the odds of this even happening? This is how God brings people together. You know, in our relationships, what's the odds of these things happening? This is wonderful. Again, she said to him, we have plenty of both. I'm from Nahor. This is what she says. We have straw. We have feed. We have room to lodge in. Then the man bowed low. When God answers your prayer, this is a secret. Bow low and worship the Lord. He said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth. We were just singing those kinds of things toward my master. This was all in the plan of God for their life. Really, even though we say this is from a storyline, this is the seed of salvation for the world. That's why I put so much importance on understanding this obedience, this faith, this God was doing something and it was hidden from everybody until we see it. And then when you see it, and you'll see this pop up all the time in Scripture, in the book of Ruth. You know, you'll see it pop up. And in the time of Samuel, you'll see it pop up. And it was all going to be part of the seed that is going to lead to Jesus Christ. The seed is all through the Old Testament. But there's lessons that we learn through all these things. The Lord guided me by the way of the house of my master's brother. Then the Lord ran and told the mothers, and get ready, little spoiler alert. We're going to meet another character here in a minute that's going to move us farther into Scripture. We haven't met him yet. Now, Rebekah had a brother whose name was Laban. And Laban ran outside. You know, the brother had significance in the family, all right, culturally. Maybe in America, not so much. The older brother is just the pain. The older brother that bosses everybody around. The older brother that does whatever. But in this culture, no, it wasn't like that at all. The older brother carried some authority. He gathered some say in matters, in things. And Laban ran outside to the man at the spring. You can tell he's different here than what he was going to be in another 40 or 50 years. He's definitely different here when we are reintroduced to Laban. Laban, we're not going that far in our story because what shall we say Abraham our father has found? I want to stay focused, and I've been staying focused on these are things that Abraham found. God, even though he appointed his servant to go find, Abraham was old in years, to go find, I guess he felt like he didn't want to make the travel or couldn't make the travel, he sent his servant to go do it. His faithful, his loyal servant, the one he entrusted his whole household to, he sent him. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us to be a comfort and a help to us with full confidence that he is able to do far more above and beyond those things in your life, to bring you to a place of maturity in your life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Now, Rebekah had a brother. His name was Laban. He ran outside when he saw the ring, the bracelets, his sister's wrist. And when he heard the words of Rebekah, his sister, saying, what's this? This man said to me, he went to the man. Behold, she told him the whole story. She must have been speed talking. Told him the whole story about this guy comes up to us and he's just there and he asked me for a drink in the well. He goes through all this story. Come, blessed of the Lord. This is what Laban said. Why do you stand outside since I've prepared a house and a place for the camels? So the man entered the house. Then Laban unloaded the camels. He was quite the servant when he was a young man, Laban. Okay. He unloaded the camels, gave them straw, fed the camels. Water to wash his feet and the feet of the men who were with him. Little details, okay? But when food was set before him, he didn't want to eat. Harry was hungry, probably from his journey. They set food before him. I'm not going to eat. He knew what he was sent to do. Sometimes we have to learn these things. When God appoints a task for you and says to be somewhere or to do something, you need to pay attention to that. That causes increase in our life when we're obedient. I will not eat until I've told my business. And he said, say it. What is it? What are you here for? Speak on. So he said, I'm Abraham's servant. The Lord has greatly blessed my master so that he has become rich. And he has given him flocks, herds, silver, gold, servants, maids, camels, donkeys. Now Sarah, my master's wife, bore a son to my master in her old age. I suppose Nahor had already heard about this, but I'm supposing that, because news does travel. Abraham got the news about Rebekah's and the whole household, heard that she had many children. That's why Abraham sent his servant out. My master made me swear, you shall not take a wife from the sons of the daughters of the Canaanites. That was the issue. Who is in the land that I live, but you shall go to my father's house and my relatives and take a wife from my son. I said to my master, suppose the woman does not follow me. He's rehearsing this story again. And for sake of repetitiveness, we'll just kind of breeze through it. So he recounts this entire story. Before I'd finished speaking, in verse 45, Rebekah came out. He rehearsing the story. And I would like to go down to verse 49. So now, he finished his story. So now, Laban, and those, oh, by the way, mommy's there. Milka's there. She's sitting there with Laban. This is how the story comes out. So now, if you're going to deal kindly and truly with my master, Abraham, remember, he's representing Abraham, okay? Tell me, and if not, let me know that I might turn to the right or to the left. Wherever the Lord would lead me, I'll turn to the right or to the left. And he's moving on. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, mommy, oldest son, the matter comes from the Lord. Watch this next phrase. While you may not think it's that important, it's something that Laban learned. And he's going to say the very same thing. And the angel of the Lord is going to approach him while he's sleeping in his camp in pursuit of Jacob. In pursuit of Jacob, who he thinks stole everything from him, including his daughters. Laban is going to have an encounter with God, and he's going to say these very same words. So we cannot speak to you bad or good. Do not do good or evil to Jacob. We're going to see that in the future, in the timeline when we understand this. But where did he learn it from? Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. Abraham's servant heard the words. You know, they left it up to her. They wanted to keep her. Just 10 days. They only wanted to keep her for 10 days. Don't know why. But he was on a mission. When it's time to go, it's time to go. I've heard Pastor Bill talk about that. I go on a mission trip, and I'm all excited to go, and I can't wait to get there. And I get there, and I do what the Lord has told me to do. Now it's time to go home. I want to leave because this is my place. You know, that's a testimony. This is the same thing. It's time to go. Abraham's servant heard these words. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold, garments, and gave them to Rebekah so that also gave precious things to her brother. Laban was blessed by Abraham. And to his mother, she was blessed by Abraham. This was the dowry. This was the payment for this. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank and spent the night. When they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. But her brother and her mother, let the girl stay a few days. Let the girl stay a few days with us. So let's say 10 days. Afterwards, she may go. And he said, oh, no, don't delay me. Don't delay me. I'm on a mission. Since the Lord has prospered my way It's not time to change your mind. When God tells you to do something, don't hesitate. How many times didn't Lot hesitate? And the angel of the Lord grabbed a hold of him and pulled him out. Let's not hesitate when the Lord tells us something. Let's go for it. Go forth. When the Lord tells you something, don't hesitate. No, see, he already knew that. Eliezer knew that. Let me go. And they said, we'll call the girl and consult with her wishes. Then they called Rebekah, and they said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. I will go. Isn't that a good response? What was it Mary's response when the angel came to her? Be it done unto me. It's time to go. You know, it was time for her to go. Thus they sent her away. Their sister Rebekah and the nurse with Abraham's servant and his men, they blessed Rebekah and said to her, I love this statement. They blessed her and said to her, may you, our sister, become thousands of ten thousands. They didn't hear the voice of the Lord like Abraham heard the voice of the Lord and how him and his household was going to be blessed through Sarah. Become thousands of ten thousand, and may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. And Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camel and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Now Isaac had come from going to Beer-lahai-roi. Say that fast. For he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field. Well, there's a little secret about Isaac already. We're starting to see. We haven't got into Isaac's life yet, and we're not. That's not our journey. Our journey is, what shall we say, Abraham, our father, has found. Abraham found some things, some secrets, some understanding, some of his ways were changed. His thinking was changed. He built altars. He presented himself before the Lord. He was obedient in the things that he found. So here comes, he's meditating in the field towards evening. He was just doing what he saw his father doing. Meditating, going out. Doesn't tell you a lot about this, but toward the evening, and he lifted up his eyes, and he looked, and behold, he saw camels coming. Here comes the caravan. Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted, got off her camel. She said to the servant, who's that man walking in the field to meet us? And the servant said, he's my master. Then she took the veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that had done. They sat down and reviewed the whole story again, and how the angel of the Lord led him, and how he barely got it out of his mouth, that God brought it about with Rebekah, that she gave him the servant water, and that he watered the camels, and told the story in such a way that Isaac, I couldn't make this up. This is what happened, you know, when I took my journey and I was under the authority of your father Abraham, and I took my journey and it happened just like he said it would happen. The servant told Isaac all the things he had done. Then Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. Thus Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So after his mother's death, she lived to almost 130 years old, which made him about 40 years old at the time. So a little bit of this, we're going to stop here at this particular point, because what we've done, Abraham is not done yet. He lives to be 175 years old, okay? He's now about 140 years old, if we just follow the ages that are given to us in Scripture. So as we, you know, if we would just kind of take a little peek, as soon as my pad decides it wants to cooperate with me because it decided to do one of these numbers. That's pretty funny. You have to love electronics, but sometimes that paper in that book is just awesome because the pages do not disappear. So look at 25. Just a little teaser as we go into this next week. Abraham took another wife. He mourned Sarah. He was probably lonely. He probably found that loneliness was not for him. So what shall we say Abraham our father has found? He took Keturah. She bore him Zimran, Jokah, a whole bunch of sons. Now, he had to believe God. And this is how I'll end this. So hard for this promise. He obviously was not the problem why they were not having children. Because he had his Ishmael. Even though God blessed him in that mistake, Ishmael became tribes and sons, and there was a promise to his mommy. Ishmael was not the promise. It was not the seed that was going to carry us to the cross. It wasn't. It's just going to be a continuing part of the Old Testament story. A problem part of the Old Testament story. A challenging part of the Old Testament story. To which many men of God will have victory over because of this situation. But Isaac was the promise who was going to carry us the whole way to the cross. And he's the person that we're going to focus on. So he had many other sons. And we'll just briefly go through this next week, you know, because Isaac is the point. But along the way, we'll be introduced to other kinds of people. And this is what happens with you in your life and in your journey. You'll come across many characters in life, but they shouldn't cause you to stumble. Many challenges in your life, but they shouldn't cause you to stumble. And Abraham didn't stumble. He made mistakes. Well, I've made a few. But God's faithful. He'll deliver us out of them all. Thank God for that.